name's Josh.
This is Warius.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be the official show for the month of April 2021. So, you know, we'll have some news that we'll cover, some new game announcements that we'll get to. And also some, we'll talk about some of the new releases that came out and then preview the month of May. A bunch of games coming out in the month of May that we'll discuss. So yeah, let's get things started. Sadly, no gospel or gossip.
What?
Aww.
Yeah, you couldn't even make up something? I mean, they're bullshit. They're inherently bullshit. You could have just literally made something up, and that's gossip.
Well, should I for next time? Like, did that something you guys are interested in doing?
I think we need to pause for a minute and let you think of one. And just...
I'm not going to do it right now. Yeah. But, I mean, I'd totally make up news stories and see if you guys can spot the real ones from the fake ones. I'm fine
Go
with
for
that.
It. Oh, they're gonna make a Sonic game.
I mean, are they going to make a good one, though? Sega doesn't make good Sonic games anymore. They outsource them to, games.
Sega doesn't really make good games anymore, period.
I like Valkyria Chronicles 4 that came out 3 years ago. That was a good game that they did. Streets of Rage 4 was not made by them. That's a Sega game.
You could that could be one. Sonic will be a playable character in Streets of Rage 4.
True. That's good.
Gossip.
So, let's go burn through some new game announcements really quick. I didn't send you guys videos. I forgot to link you to the playlist I made. But there's only 5 games of any consequence that were not part of the Indie Direct.
Am I reading anything?
Yes, we're going to have some stuff for you
to
read.
Oh, shit. I should have opened my mouth.
So, Soul Cresta, that's from Platinum Games. It's a 2D space shooter. Looks pretty cool, kind of retro style. That one's coming out this year. And also, The Lightbringer is one that I got my eye on that is coming out this year as well. It's sort of a puzzle game. It reminded me a bit of something like Down in Bermuda or Blue Fire.
Okay.
Because it's a 3D sort of adventure game. It's not really combat-focused. It's more just about, you know, solving these lateral puzzles. Trails of Cold Steel 1 and 2 got announced for Switch. Those are only announced for Japan so far, coming out July 8th and 15th. 3 and 4 are coming, have now come out on Switch. So I wouldn't be too surprised if 1 and 2 eventually make their way over to the West. Just
the floodgates are really open on that then.
I know, right?
This was a series that was like not on a Nintendo console for forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've mentioned before that the publishers of these games, Falcom, for a while they were resistant to put anything on Switch because, like, no, our audience is on PlayStation. And then they just, like, I think East 8 was probably, the first game that they published on Switch, and now they've done a bunch of East games. They have a couple of other series. Trails of Cold Steel, namely, and I think there's one more series that they've started publishing on Switch now that they've realized that, you know, their audience isn't limited to just people who play on PlayStation. And then, Wes, I meant to send you a video of this one, but I didn't. This one's called Beast of Maravilla Island. That one's coming out in June. And I only mention it because it kind of has Pokemon Snap vibes.
Oh.
But you're not on rails. You're kind of like exploring this island like on foot, and you can go around taking pictures of animals. And I was going to, you know, try to posture as if it was going to be better than Pokemon Snap.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, this one was an Indie Direct.
It was, yeah.
I had to open the soda, so brace yourselves.
Go for it. Crack it open.
I think Sherlock's already ruined the audio fidelity of this one.
Yeah, that was a noisy one.
Yeah.
We did get some...
I hope that you, by the way, just put in some fart sounds. That was a noisy one. Send
me the audio. I'll splice it in. We got some release date updates. Neo, The World Ends With You from Square Enix is coming out July 27th. And then in the Indie Direct, which we're going to get to in a second here, they also gave a release update for Chris Tales. It's a little RPG, a little indie RPG. That one's coming out July 20th. And speaking of East, East 9 Monster Nox, we got a release date for that for July 6th. Every game is coming out in July now. We're going to get to it in a couple months, but like the month of July is just jam-packed with all sorts of different stuff. Mostly RPGs, but you know, it's got...
Do any of them look good, though?
Yes, Neo The World Ends With You looks legit. I'm going to be picking that one up. And I think the other game that we're going to be talking about a lot is Skyward Sword, when you get that one.
Awesome. It's not happening. I'm not spending the money for that. I've been burned before by this game.
You are. You're going to get it.
I've been burned by this game before.
It's going to be a life-changing experience for you. You will see the light
of
Skyward Sword.
It's not good.
You will be...
I don't want to fight the one boss 4 times.
Cosplaying fee by the time you're done with it.
Oh,
it's going to be a delight.
God.
I mean, it's this or Beast of Maribel, dude.
I don't know how they made a character more annoying than Navi. I really don't. They did it. The hats off to them. Well done. But.
Oh, yeah. They're like, everyone was like, Navi's so annoying. And they're like, hold my beer. All right, so I've mentioned it in passing a couple times now. There was an Indie Direct showcase back on the 14th. And, you know, nothing too amazingly notable, which is why we didn't do a dedicated show to that. So we'll just kind of go through.
I feel like, yeah, the last Indie Direct was, like, huge. There's, like, tons and tons of games. Like, look at all this shit we got going on. This one, it feels a little more low-key. Feels like they got a handful of things they want to show off.
I just watched part of it, and there's, like, no games I'm interested in so far.
There was like one or two that I thought was like, well, there's one definite day one must buy for me, which is a game we already knew about. It's Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge.
Which just happened to be where I just got to on the video.
Which, of course, looks delightful. That game looks so fucking good.
Like, I may buy this. Yep. Even though I only will be playing it with you guys.
But, yeah. So good. I really don't have anything else to say about it because...
I think it's like the third time we brought it up, too. We've already talked about this game quite a bit, even though it's like not... Have they ever released it yet?
No, but they did. This was the official confirmation that it was coming to Switch, and they did mention it was coming this year. And, you know, the indie games do have a tendency to get pushed. So, you know, I don't think we can say definitively that we will be playing it this year, but that's what they're aiming for, which is great. I'd love to be playing this game by the end of the year.
Yep.
And continuing the tradition of having, like... at least one really slick-looking, high-profile beat-em-up game per year. Yeah. You know, starting with like River City Girls and then Streets of Rage 4. And Scott Pilgrim was pretty good, too. That was earlier this year.
Yeah, that's kind of just a format I'll never grow tired of. As long as they're making good games.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, it looks so slick. Were there, Ryan, any indie games that... come to mind?
Yeah, a couple of them sounded really interesting. That very first one, I think it was it Route 96 or 95 or something.
96.
Like that? Yeah, that looks really cool. It's almost like a choose your own adventure kind of game. Mm-hmm. With a lot of mini games and little mini puzzles you've got to figure out that determine outcomes. Like, I know that kind of style of game probably isn't for everybody, but that looked really fucking enjoyable. I think that game could be a lot of fun. So
and
I'm gonna try that one out for sure.
And it seemed like a lot of the gameplay that you're going to be getting out is going to be coming out of like these narrative choices that you're going to make. Are you going to, you know, turn left or turn right, and your adventure is going to sprawl off from there, which I can see could be really appealing for some people. It doesn't necessarily really appeal to me, but it does have a really nice art style to it. I kind of like the
sure does.
The simple shaded polygons of the art style. It looks nice. It looks really nice.
There was maybe if you go through the games, I'll remember it. There's another game in there for sure that I was like, that looks really cool. I'll check that one out. And then lastly, there was that game from South Korea. Was it called Skull? S-K-U-L?
Yes.
Looked very much like a Hollow Knight style game with a lot of interesting art. And there was a really bad translation of what the creator was saying, I think. Because I don't know if you paid close attention to it when he was describing what the game was like. It looked like it wasn't properly translated because he was describing the game positively as being... a cliched story, and I don't think that he meant. I don't think that cliche is the word they should have used. They probably should have been like
classic
or prototypical, or you know, like there's probably a bunch of other words that would have not had such a negative connotation. Cliche.
Right.
And then there was something else he said at the very end of it. I don't remember exactly what, but that seemed to get like a confusing choice of words. But at any rate, that game looks like a lot of fun. It looks very stylish.
Yeah, to your point, it is a really nice-looking like 2D pixel art game. I think they did a really great job of coming up with some really nice pixel designs for all the characters and the layouts and stuff.
Oh, that combat sure looks fun.
Yeah, combat looks really great. Yeah. It is a roguelike.
Which one are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Skull.
I'm watching the video right now, so I was like, oh, yeah, this is...
Doesn't it look really good?
I'm really sad it's a roguelike.
Me too.
I'm really sad. It looks super good, but I'm not interested in a roguelike.
There are a number of games that
we're going to bring up. If you listen to the description of it, I mean, they have had subtitles too. He didn't say it's a roguelike. He said it's with light, like, rogue elements. I don't think that they're... I think he just means that the game's going to be a little harder.
I think... I might be thinking of a different game, but the narrators afterwards, after he talks, might have referred to it as a roguelike, which is a pretty broad term. But that broad term is very much a turnoff for me. I like to have like specifically designed levels, make a challenge that I can overcome. and not something that, not like a number of rooms sewn together that an algorithm is going to do for me.
Don't make me fight this, do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Like, it's the only roguelite that I legitimately like was Wizard of Legend and Hades. Those are the only two I like. All the other ones.
But you like Dead Cells.
Fuck you. Just gah. I just can't anymore with these roguelike games. I just can't.
One of the ones
there's one called There Is No Game. That was the other one I was trying to think of. And that one looks like really, really fun. It's supposed to be a very subversive game.
Yeah, like a very eclectic mix of different gameplay styles. Kind of like it shows you like playing a Pong or like a simulator.
But it's not that at all. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about breaking it or doing something that, like, you're never going to, like, play a Pong game and then beating it is by beating a game in a Pong game in a traditional sense.
Right.
It'll be doing something that breaks the mechanics of the game or something. Like, again, this game's been around for a while, and I think it's been around for a while, because I'm fairly certain I watched somebody play this game doing, like, a Let's Play format and watched about an hour of it. And it was delightful. All of the games, all of the little mini games and stuff have really fun, like clever puzzle elements to them.
Well, it's out now.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You can grab it for the low, low price of I don't know.
Oh, wow. At that price, is it? I'll buy two. It'd
be ridiculous not to buy it.
That Azteca game looks interesting.
Azteca does look pretty good. Forgotten
Since we're
Gods.
Jumping around, we're not going in particular order here.
No, we're not. I think it could be a cool, a pretty good like 3D action game.
Let's see that game you just played.
Which one?
I'm trying to think of... You just played a game like this recently with the guy with two swords on his back.
Oh, sure. Blue Fire.
Yeah, I mean, at least just from looking at a trailer alone, it reminds me a little bit of Blue Fire. So it's red instead of blue.
Hopefully it won't be as broken as that game ended up being, because that game was pretty buggy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to mess with this Azteca game. This actually does look pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's got a nice art style to it. Again, it's not anything overly complex, but really nicely colorful polygons and stuff. I think a nice mix of like that sort of like what would you call it? A Central American indigenous people art style, along with like this future tech kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that one looks pretty good. Aerial Knights Never Yield. That was the second game they showed. That one I think looks pretty good. There is a demo. I did play the demo. It's three levels. It lets you play through levels 1, 2, and 5 of the game. Really nice music. Funky soundtrack. It does let you play through a couple of different difficulties in the demo. I found normal mode to be too easy. What it does, it's a runner game, like Runner 2, Runner 3, games that have appeared on Nintendo systems before. Where you're auto scrolling running, and what you're doing is you're performing your dodge maneuvers, and they have different dodge maneuvers mapped to your D-pad or your analog stick. You know, you want to do a high jump is up, slide is down, and then pressing back will kind of do like a short jump that'll flip you through the air, and pressing forward is a dash, and you use those to dodge or break through different obstacles. And what ends up happening is when an obstacle is coming up, when you're playing through normal mode and go into slow motion and give you time to sort of, it's color coded. When you want to do a high jump, your obstacle is red. If you want to do a slide, your obstacle is like a purple color, and each one has a color mapped to the specific sort of maneuver you want to execute. And when you go into that slow motion in normal mode, they give you a huge window, to the point where when I first started playing it, I had to like delay my reactions. So if it was like, hey, do a short hop here, I actually had to let the character get closer to the obstacle in order for that short hop to execute the way it should. Otherwise, I was doing it way too early and just crashing into the obstacle anyway. And they are pretty generous with the hitbox, because there were times where I would jump too early and like land inside the obstacle, but it would let me keep going anyway. It is a one hit, and then you have to restart from a checkpoint, like many runner games are. I found that once I turned it up to hard mode, it shortened that window of slow motion for your reaction, and just played much smoother that way. There's less slow motion, so it felt like it was playing more fluidly, and I think it was doing a pretty good job of broadcasting the maneuvers you wanted to execute without having such a huge window of time in order to do it. I don't know. This one's coming out in May. And it's something that I'm keeping an eye on. I might end up grabbing this one. It's not really very complex. It only has the four mechanics mapped to your face button or your analog stick. I don't know if it's going to broaden past that at all. So we'll see. Like I said, the music is really nice. It's got a really nice visual style. So it's got.
I get the sense the music was like a big part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
That your enjoyment of the game is probably driven by how much you enjoy the soundtrack itself.
Right. But I think it's got a lot going for it, so I'm keeping an eye on it at least. Nice. Wes, any thoughts on Ali Ali World?
It looks fun.
Yep.
It's interesting. These kind of writer games, though, they don't hold my interest very long.
Ali Ali World is, compared to something like an Aerolite, the demo levels that I played is a bit more complex because not only are you trying to like dodge your obstacles, you're also encouraged to pull off tricks. So I played the original, the first game, on 3DS, and there's also a score attack element to it, like a Tony Hawk, where not only do you need to make it to the end, but you also have a score cap that you have to get past. And doing all your tricks is, you know, mapped to all your face buttons. So it is also a very, like, stunt-heavy game as well. It's not just make it to the end. So I don't know if I'm inclined not to play another one. I think I had a good enough time with the first one, but I don't need to do it again. So it just kind of depend on what else we learn about the game. If there's something like really cool about it.
They suddenly realized us Switch players like skateboard stuff, huh?
Yeah.
So we got that Tony Hawk game now.
Got that Tony Hawk. There's also a skate game coming out in a couple months.
Yeah.
I think it's just called Skater. Mm-hmm. There's that bird skateboarding game that's allegedly coming out someday.
That's going to be for real.
Bird skateboarding game?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to pick what kind of bird you are, or are you just the one bird?
I don't.
It's just Tony Hawk.
and Larry Bird, no, for some reason. Yeah, it's the two of them. Not Larry Bird from the 80s, Larry Bird now.
Yeah.
There's actually a few on that, and I was flipping through it here. There's actually a few there that look pretty interesting.
The Longing, you excited for that one?
Not at all. That sounds extreme. This just seems like a really bad idea. Like, who hates people and just
so they did they did show like the guy who was talking at the start of that that introduction was the I guess the designer. He might have made the game by himself, I'm not sure, but he did seem like let's say a reclusive character. So this might be the sort of thing that he likes, and I'll say like the visual style, like when they're just showing the visuals, like, okay, this kind of looks interesting. And I like the idea of just kind of going on an exploration-based game and gathering stuff to bring back to your house to kind of, like, build out stuff while you're killing time. That character moves.
Slowly.
Remarkably slowly. I don't know if, like, you ever unlock, like, rocket skates or something. I will say that I was listening to IGN's Nintendo podcast, and a couple of them have already played the game because I think it's been available on Steam for a few months now. There are things you can do to sort of speed up the game. Like, there are warp points that you can make as you like continue to like deck out your room or your area of the castle that you occupy while you're waiting for the guy to wake up. Like, the crux of the game, the hitch, is that you are like the last servant of this king who's going to be asleep for 400 days, and you have to just wait for him to wake up, and then you win. But you have to wait 400 days in like gameplay time. Not like you buy the game and then, you know, you install it and you turn it on and then you wait 400 days and just go back to it. You actually have to play 400 days in the game. So that's quite a bit of hours. But there are things you can do to sort of speed up that time as well. Like, if you make a room where you have, you know, like a chair you can sit in, a nice fireplace, and you can find like books and stuff. If you have your character sit down and read a book, it will actually pass time faster. And from what I understand, you can actually pass time passively while the game is off. You'll go back to it, he's been reading, and like, okay, this much time has passed while I've been reading here. So doing things that like build out the world will do things like make the game playable, which kind of seems like a weird feature.
Hmm. How long has this game been out?
I'll do a quick fact check. Wes, what were you about to say?
I don't have a career. I just work at Target, nothing fancy. I play games a lot. But even that being said, life's too short to waste on this kind of crap. Like, who's got the time to watch him walk super slowly everywhere? Like, I have set amount of time during a day that I'm going to play a video game. I'm not going to burn 2 hours of it watching a guy walk slowly.
Yeah.
Like, fuck everything about this game. For the little bit of the little video that I watched, I'm almost actively against this game. More than fucking...
You're
going
to try to get it canceled?
This is absurd to me.
Well, I'm sure there's stuff that will speed up the... Like you're saying, there's stuff that will speed up the game. I don't know if they necessarily intend you to sit there and play a game consecutively 400 days. And also, frankly, like, if it were to... If you want to just cheese it, could you just use a turbo controller? Could you just have a turbo controller sit there and just press buttons every once in a while and... The game will just, you could just run it passively overnight and you would clock all
but
the
But then you're not even playing the fucking game then.
I mean, I'm not
in
saying...
In order to beat the game, I have to not play the game?
I don't mean to say that this is fun or that someone should do this. I'm just saying that if the goal is to play the game through, then you could.
Like, I think the goal of the game, and I think they did a bad job communicating this, the goal of the game is to create the situation where you are passing time faster. Which is a weird sort of like self-reflexive thing about video games is like they're at their core a way of like entertaining yourself while you're passing time, but like that open like those first several hours where you're plodding along, not knowing like how you're going to achieve the goal of passing time faster, that's got to be just pure torture, and maybe the payoff would be worth it for some people. I'm not saying this game is going to be totally without value for anyone. I'm not going to play it.
No.
Right.
No.
Well, that's why I was asking how long has it been out, because...
Since March of last year.
March of last year. Yeah. So that's almost... Wait, that would be just about 400 days.
Just about.
Someone's about to beat the game.
If people had figured out how to have it basically play in a perpetual state on its own... Then
right. See, that's the thing. Like, someone would be about to beat it if they just turned it on and let it run since March 5th of last year.
Like, fuck everything about this. Like, I could get so much done in so many video games by never touching this. Like, I play World of Warcraft. I got shit to do. Alright? I just started Skyrim again. I had shit to do.
There were a couple
the game is not designed to have 400 active hours,
right?
Of 400 days of gameplay, right? Again, it is a matter of like finding the books to pass time by, like, to finding things for you to do in the game that piss away the time.
Theoretically, if you were to speedrun this perfectly and do everything to optimize the time and burn through it as fast as humanly possible, it's still going to be excruciating, I think.
Like, let's find out.
What is the possible shortest time that you can spend in this game?
Let's see. 9,600 hours is the minimum. That's like how long it takes for 24-hour long days to pass 400 times. That's the math there.
That's the maximum.
You can beat the main story fastest time 17 hours. So you're cutting that down by a lot. Main story plus like all styles of gameplay I'm looking at, it's saying about 44 hours if you're playing the game and like actually going with it. That's not bad. I guess that would also depends on
if it's fun.
How what the actual like mechanics are. Are you crafting? I don't know if you're crafting this game. Are you just kind of like gathering stuff and bringing it back? I don't know, because really all they showed a really nice visual style. And they showed a dude walking real slow.
Wow, that talk about optimization. That's like a 99.8% optimization of the amount
that's
of time
absurd.
Expected.
Are you talking about the 17-hour or the 44-hour?
If you can beat this game in 44 hours and it's supposed to take 400 days, that is like some
godlike
speedrun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, though, I don't want to watch this guy walk slowly.
I'm not saying you should. I'm not trying to defend this game.
Maybe there's a jetpack. Yeah. Think there's a jetpack?
Still, like,
if there's a jetpack, sold.
Just
anyway, we've been going on about this game for 400 days. A couple
it's
of
got very good reviews, 77 on Metacritic.
That's solid.
And 7.4 from the fans. So
All right, maybe I'm completely missing the thing with this. But
I think the artwork looks pretty.
No, I think the artwork does look nice. But Wes, I think that your gut reaction to this is warranted. I think that either the game premise is just totally unappealing to me, or they do a bad job of kind of pitching it. Because when your pitch is play for 400 days in real time, like, no, I don't wanna.
It looks painful.
Hmm. So there are a couple of narrative focused games, The Last Stop and Hindsight. No interest either, guys?
No.
Okay. There's I'm sorry, I'm going to make a joke that everyone's been making, so I apologize for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. There is a game from the little-known, small, very independent game maker, Konami.
Oh.
That was talked about in this Indie Direct.
What was the last time they did make a game?
I don't want to think. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's still painful.
It's too soon, Wes.
Getsu Fumiden is the name of the game, Undying Moon. It's, again, a really nice-looking
game. This does look good. I watched this, and I'm interested.
It's a roguelike.
God! Fuck!
Again, there it is. It's one word that could just ruin it for us.
Fuck!
Yeah.
I didn't know it was. It didn't look like a roguelike at all. I was interested. I was like, this looks cool. I play this. This looks great. Fuck!
We'll keep an eye on it. Maybe the roguelike elements aren't... We often associate roguelike with like randomly generated because a lot of times they go hand in hand. Maybe that's not it. Like I don't necessarily mind games that are supposed to be like, okay, we're going to die and you know repeat some stuff and get better and build your skills. What I don't like is when it's like you're going to die and then have to repeat rooms that are slightly different because they're randomly generated, but the overall structure of the game is going to be exactly the same.
Yes.
If you're going to make... when you're making a game that's randomly generated, you can't account for the types of skills that your player has been developing and acquiring. You have to just kind of go with what you can assume.
Start over and go again.
Whereas when you're making a game that is going to be like very meticulously crafted, like we know what you're going to have at your disposal when you get to this point, you can craft challenges around that. Anyway, let's see. There was a we already mentioned Chris Tales. This was a game that we talked about. There's a release date update. There is a demo for this game as well. I played the demo. It was a lot of talking. Apparently, there is some sort of like it's an RPG. I should start with that.
It looked good. This is another one that looked nice.
It's got a nice art style. It has a cool sort of mechanic where you kind of like flip back and forth between like a past and future timeline, and the sort of example that they gave in the trailer is you can, when you encounter an enemy, you can like change the time period to the past where they might be a lot weaker because you know then you're fighting children or something.
God, all right.
Yeah. So, if an enemy is getting too hard, you can flip them back to being a child and punch them in the face. Punch a child in the face. This game endorses it. So,
can you just flip them to the future where you're punching an old man in the face?
That was my thought, too.
That seems better. Yeah, like, I'd rather punch an old man than a kid.
It's slightly less distasteful.
Slightly?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be like a racist old man. He just needs to get smacked.
I think like
there's no excuse. I don't care what time period you grew up in. There's no reason for those comments.
Right. So like to your point, that's also my thinking. Like it is more likely, not that all old people are racist. Some of them are.
Quite a bit.
But I think the ratio
of... You're going to find the one that isn't.
I work at Target. A lot of them come in and like, do you have consumer cellular? And then proceed with racist comments.
I don't know what consumer cellular
is. It's a no-contract phone service that pretty much their target is old people.
Okay. Because they don't know how much longer they have to live. I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Was any burner phones for all the drug dealings they did?
Yeah. Well, wasn't that a Clint Eastwood movie?
Oh, The Mule?
The Mule.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He was a drug runner.
And it was like every old person's wet dream where like they were like super empowered and like have young people... were like talking, like being disrespectful, they'd punch them in the face and shoot them. That was The Mule. That was the movie.
Wow.
But I think the ratio of racist old people is much higher than racist children.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I think so. Yeah. I think kids tend to not be inherently racist.
Right.
It's sort of a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost adorable when they are.
I mean,
almost.
In sort of a quaint way. Like, hey, we still have time to fix you. But I played the demo, and the demo for this game where you're punching old racists and not children in the face, was... They never actually got to that mechanic. It was a lot of running around and talking to people. Like, hey, go find this frog that got away. It's like, well, I'm playing an RPG. I want to fight the battles. I don't care about your fucking frog. So I gave up on the demo. And I was like, yeah, maybe this game isn't for me. But to your point, it does look nice.
Yeah.
It's got a nice art style. There's also this this sizzle reel where they showed a bunch of stuff. One of the things they showed was that Beasts of Maravella, that Pokemon Snap-looking game that we mentioned at the top of the show. And they also showed... The only standout game to me in the sizzle reel was they showed a House of the Dead remake.
That does look pretty sweet.
Which...
I mean, I'm interested to see how it plays, though, is the thing. Like, because I'm used to playing it in the arcade with an actual, like, light gun thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of get that vibe. If it's going to be, like, trying to use the joystick to hit a target... that's not so fun. If there's motion controls, that could be fun.
I think there has to be. I think it'd be a huge missed opportunity if it's not just like point your Joy-Con at the screen and pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's like Time Crisis for the games. Like, it's... You need the pedal to duck around shit. I mean, come on.
Or like, there are a ton of light gun shooter games back on the Wii. Like, me and Dez got a ton of mileage out of, like, Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles and Darkside Chronicles and House of the Dead Overkill. We played a lot of these
games.
Dez
was playing those games?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we got a lot of gameplay out of House of the Dead because it's just, like, such a stupid, simple, just pull the trigger and everything that moves on the screen.
It's kind of funny that you're both hyped about different rail shooters.
Go on. Oh yeah.
Pokemon Switch.
Pokemon Snap and House of the Dead. They go, they're practically the same game.
Yeah, basically.
But yeah, no release date for this House of the Dead remake yet. Also, this is a Sega property, and Sega's not making it. I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, they've learned from their mistakes. Maybe we shouldn't make it.
Let's just let everyone else make our games from now on.
I mean, I can just get money. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll sit back, we'll let Atlas do all the work.
And then just make money.
Yep. Either of you guys ever play Oxenfree?
No, I think so.
I thought I remembered, Ryan, you talking about it before. Maybe it was Owlboy that you had talked about. I don't know.
I picked up Owlboy like 2 years ago or something.
Mm.
Yeah. But no, I don't think I played Oxenfree.
Is that Oxenfree some kind of detergent?
That's OxyClean. And they are a sponsor. They get everything super clean.
Oh. An Oxycontin is a drug I take.
And it is just delightful, isn't it?
Yeah. I am in the clouds. Let's keep going.
Oxenfree. It's a relatively high-profile indie game. Like, it was pretty popular when it came out, or pretty well-regarded as well. It's getting a sequel. And this was, like, their one last thing at the bottom of the show where you thought they were done.
Right.
They're like,
this is, like, based... So there's this thing that I just recently discovered. It's called Analog Horror. Have we talked about this? Have I talked
No.
with you guys? It's a thing that sort of has been cropping up over the past couple of years, and it's... predominantly told through found footage, like what appears to be found footage, like YouTube channels and stuff like that. And I've been watching some of these, and they are creepy as fuck. Because they sort of premise themselves to be like, you know, like you're watching some like local TV network station, and they're giving you these bumps on just like, you know, slice of life living in the Midwest or something. But then they quickly just take these really eerie directions and really... horrifying things, and they kind of just always kind of cut back to reality as though that they didn't just show you something fucking terrifying, as though this was just sort of this quick moment of insanity inside of this banal, bland thing. So like when they're cutting in on these VHS cuts with weird messages plastered across the screen, it very much reminds me of that.
Yep, I think it looks interesting. I might track down the first one and take a look at it. I maybe stick it on the wish list, see if a price drop happens to kind of give that one a test. It looks kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the end of those Indie Direct games.
Oh, like Fez is like a really old game.
Oh, yeah, Fez was in the sizzle reel.
Switch, so
yep. That's
really cool.
Yeah, it's available now. You would get it right now.
Nice. Yeah, that's like a classic indie game. That game's probably like, 5 years old at least.
Hmm.
Pretty sure it's been around for a while.
But yeah, anything else from the Indie Direct that we need to point out before we move on here?
No, it was low-hanging fruit, but you did make the comment that Konami should not have a game in an Indie Direct. They're
right?
Not an indie company.
It's
in
bizarre.
Any capacity.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
They are a one-time, very large publisher of video games.
It's like Amazon telling you to buy local.
Buy from our local... They are opening brick-and-mortar stores.
Oh, there you go, then. I take that back.
That they're crawling into the husk of retail sales. And
yes.
taking over like they're Han Solo in the fucking ice planet. Anyway, yeah, mixing metaphors here. Well, there's an update coming to Streets of Rage 4 at last, finally. I think we've been talking about this for a year. They're adding some stages and there are new challenges and new characters. They're adding three new characters. They revealed one.
One's a racist old man.
It's a racist old man that you get to punch. He rides a kangaroo. the one that they've revealed so far is the cop lady, who's, I think, the boss of the second or third stage. Got the blonde braid, wears the assault vest, and punches really hard. I think it's a foregone conclusion. They got to add, like, Max, who is a playable character in Streets of Rage 2. Arguably the best Streets of Rage game so far. He's in the game as a boss character. I think that it's necessary. I think they got to be adding him in this update, but we'll see. No way of knowing until they announce it for sure.
No, it's gonna be Steve from Minecraft.
So, last bit of news before we move on here: Nintendo is releasing a new Switch Lite.
It's green.
It's a new color.
It's green.
It's blue.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought they were coming out with a green one.
No, it's blue. They say it's blue. It's there's like some hullabaloo in certain corners of the internet, whether it's blue or whether it's purple, and people like getting out like color wheels.
Is this like the fucking dress? Like the dress is gold or purple or something? Is this one of those kind of stupid shit?
It's similar, but like the dress thing was actually like a trick of your eye. Like if your eyes were a certain way, you saw one color. Whereas this, it's just people arguing about what is blue and what is purple. And when I look at it, I think it's a blue Switch. It is a very deep blue, but I think like there is a very distinct line between blue and purple, and it is very much on the blue side. But it doesn't fucking matter at all. Like, this is such a non-issue. What color it is, who the fuck cares? It's a new color Switch Lite. $200 just like every other Switch Lite.
They already have a blue one, so I don't know what they're...
Yeah, they have that light blue.
It's a color called Iris, and I will fight you if you disagree.
Okay.
Go on.
It looks more blue to me.
I was like, okay, then we agree.
Yeah, it's blue. It's a dark blue.
It's coming out May 21st.
It's Iris. It's clearly Iris. This is great. Great audio content.
Great audio.
Show me that picture. It's Iris.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you look up makeup colors and see
that? I just typed in shades of purple and then...
You're wearing Iris right now on your eyes. Look at that.
Of course. Yeah, you know, you gotta make a pop.
Gotta make a pop.
All right,
but yeah, I'm inclined to say that this is more blue. How much more content do we need on the blue thing?
None.
I got about another 10 minutes. I can.
That's okay. I'll just start recording. Let's go. And you can go.
Oh yeah. Hit stop. I'm going.
So when's the Switch Pro coming out?
The Switch Pro is not real, so it is never coming out. But yeah, I mean it's like, again, like we've. I feel like we address this every time there's rumors. There haven't been new rumors of a Switch Pro for a few weeks now, so the conversation has died back down. But it just won't stop.
I feel like we need to get one of the signs. It's been this many days since the last Switch Pro rumor. just reset it.
That's not a bad idea. Just like call it out at the beginning of every show. Like, it's been 29 days since the last Switch Pro rumor.
Can I spitball two ideas?
Go.
Oh, God.
The Nintendo Genesis.
Go. Oh, yeah. Good.
Or... The Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's nice.
What are we going for with these?
as long,
these are the new consoles.
As long as like there's a third sort of analog stick jutting down from the middle of the screen. Yeah.
Yes. Those things are definitely better than what they named the new Xbox console. Which is the most confusing shit ever. There's the Xbox One S. That's the old one.
Yeah.
Now they have an Xbox Series X. And an Xbox Series S.
Yeah.
Like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. There you go.
Why don't we take a break and then come back with some new releases?
Okie doke.
Thank you. Okay. New releases. There are some that came out.
You didn't tell me which ones to bring up on Nintendo.
Oh, we're going to take another break before we do that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll be prepared.
All right.
That should be a song. Anyway.
Be prepared.
There you go. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, Trails of Cold Steel 4, that came out this month on the 9th.
Okay.
Which these are our very beloved RPGs in the RPG, the JRPG community specifically.
These are the ones that look super anime, right?
They are. They're super anime.
I've been waiting to try one of these super anime RPGs just to see if they're any good.
I mean, you've played Xenoblade, so...
I have, but that's not... It's very anime, but it's not super anime like some of these games.
You've played Fire Emblem.
That's not super anime.
Three Houses is.
I'm pretty sure most of those games are hard-boiled fucking anime.
Are you kidding me? No, I'm saying, like, don't sell yourself short.
What are, like, fucking kiss and blood relatives? Of course.
Much more, yeah, but in the most tasteful way possible.
Yes, you escort your wife out of the room before you share the bed with your blood relative.
I wouldn't care if Camilla was my sister. Wait, what are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Trails of Cold Steel. I don't know if you fuck your blood relatives in that game, but it is very anime. I mean, there's a demo. You can try a demo if you want.
Yeah, I'll try the demo.
For me, I've mentioned this.
I know, I have played a little bit of Trials of Mana. I did that. Mm. Demo. That's very anime.
Yeah, that's a cool game. Trails of Cold Steel, I played the demo of the third one. It was a lot of talking. It was a lot of talking and not a lot of fighting. So there's that. But speaking of RPGs, Saga Frontier Remastered came out on the 15th. I downloaded this one. I've put a little bit of time into it. I did. I played for a couple hours, and then I ended up resetting and picking a different path. So this one, it is a remaster, almost a full remake. They've completely revamped all the visuals and the user interface, all the menus and stuff. Are much much improved over the PS1 version where it originally came out. And it is a saga game, which, if that doesn't mean anything to you, think of something like a Final Fantasy II or Final Fantasy Adventure on the Game Boy. They had a few games installed there where you are playing a turn-taking RPG, but instead of gaining experience to gain levels, basically at the end of every fight, you have dice rolls that will, random number generators that will determine if you are increasing stats, learning new skills, like sword skills or spells, that kind of thing, anything that you're going to use in a battle that's not just your basic attack. And I think I talked about a couple of these games. They weren't saga games, but very much in that style, and I think they have a lot of the same pedigree as these. On the 3DS, I'm talking about Legend of Legacy, and the other one was The Alliance Alive. Legend of Legacy I ended up really liking because it had this sort of procedural mapping that went hand-in-hand with the way you are gaining experience for levels and skills and building stats and things like that. And you had to kind of build a team based on the strategy you want to use. Like, this guy is going to generally be very tanky. Pretty much everyone used a particular weapon, and the skills that you were learning were going to be based around that weapon. To get a guy with a big shield, he's going to be tanky for you. You take someone that uses magic, they're going to heal for you. And all you need is someone who's going to deal damage. You got a pretty well-balanced team. Saga Frontier Remastered is a much older school of thought about the style of games where the sort of scuttlebutt, the generally accepted knowledge around these games is they were designed by people who played, living in Japan, Japanese people who cut their teeth on RPGs playing Western RPGs, something like Ultima, before they read or understood English. So they were just kind of like bumping into walls until they finally figured out this is the best way to play this game. And had this sort of like trial and error way of uncovering the thing you're supposed to do next. And they liked that style of game, so then they decided, let's make that as well. But instead of having a language barrier, let's just have a barrier of knowledge, where we're not going to pass you the knowledge of what you're supposed to be doing, and just force you to kind of bump up against a wall and figure it out. And I've been doing it, and it's not fun. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Pretty much because there are parts of the game that you have like this menu of options of places that you can go, and you can find stuff to do there if you want. And it doesn't ever like set you on like, but you definitely want to go here in order to continue your quest proper to do your critical path. So I've gone to a couple of places and found stuff to do. I'm like, okay, well, this must be like where I'm supposed to go to do the next thing. And then as I'm going through like the dungeon areas and fighting enemies and having some pretty decent success against the enemies and gaining stats and learning skills and stuff, and then I come to a boss, and these bosses are just damage sponges that just by battles of attrition end up taking out my party. So I was like, okay, maybe I wasn't supposed to be here. So I have to go somewhere else only to bump into a similar boss in another place. So I'm having a difficult time just figuring out what is the boss I can currently take down. I haven't fully resorted to looking at a walkthrough just yet, but I have watched some videos. The videos that I've looked at are not helpful because they are people doing New Game Plus, so they already have access to all these skills that I don't have access to yet. So,
like Surf and Rock Smash?
Surf, Rock Smash, Cut.
Defog.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Defog. Gotta have that Defog. Higher level skills, so... as you're using particular weapons, you're learning new skills that, of course, do more damage, but also combo together. So you want to have you have a party of five, and you want to have as many people in that party as you can, because the more skills that you're using, whether it's with swords or guns or just like martial arts, they're going to combine together to do stronger combo attacks. I'm talking about like a basic attack is going to be doing, sometimes 60, 70, 80, maybe if you're lucky, you're doing like up to 100 damage. Whereas your skill attacks are doing several hundred damage, and your combos can sometimes be doing in the thousands of damage. And a lot of times, just to make it through basic fights, you need to be using the skills and combos just to take down your rando enemies, let alone your bosses. But the thing about these combos is they're not reliable. If you figure out that like doing this electrical attack with a sword combined with this sort of like a grappling attack with a martial artist combined with doing this gun attack with another character is going to get you this combo, repeating that same thing again is not going to execute the combo again. It's another dice roll whether or not they pull off the combo or I'll just attack separately, which is...
That sounds like terrible.
Is annoying. It's it is this sort of like counterculture design of RPGs where you are not you can strategize to an extent, but you're very much at the mercy of this random number generator and just kind of lucking upon the thing you're supposed to do next.
That stuff.
These ideas are interesting, and it's a very dense game. There's a lot you can uncover. But because there's nothing intuitive about it from the way that, you're pulling off combos to the types of things you can equip onto what characters and what stats are being built and how you can reliably build stats or learn skills. Like, without that sort of intuitive design to anything, it's hard to find anything fun about it. It's a lot of slogging around hoping that you're doing the right thing.
This sounds like, and this isn't really based on any one game in particular, but like so many modern games, but I saw this funny comic where it was like a guy and a girl were sitting on a couch and he's like, this new game I've been wanting is finally out. I can't wait to play it. And the next panel is him. He puts down the controller and picks up his phone. She's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm looking up builds. Or it's like, we don't even play the game. We look at how people have optimized it to try to play the way that they've played it.
I'll admit I've done that.
Yeah, totally.
Like with an RPG, I'll like look at, okay, well, what's the ideal combination here? Like for with Bravely Default 2 that I talked about a couple months ago. Once I had gotten a certain point into it, I was like looking up, okay, what's something that is going to be a good combination? And I found a couple of things that were helpful, and I mostly found things where I was like, I could do that, but I'm going to put my own twist on it. Yeah, because I think I can better...
That's the way to do it, is put your own twist on it. Because I do that a lot with a lot of different games. I mean, I play the shit out of Bloodborne and Dark Souls, and those are... There's so many builds, that's the thing in the game, is you have your stats, you have your weapons, you have blah, blah, blah. So I do that with a lot of different games, but you got to figure out your own twist to kind of make it...
You're going to want to tweak it to fit your own play style as well.
Yeah.
And I think to this game's point, it's like being over-leveled to overcome the RNG of it all. is not really a good build guide.
Right, right. And it's not really going to be all that reliable either, because even if you are like over-leveled to use, like, you're not actually gaining levels, you're randomly building stats. Even if you've built enough stats to where, you know, you're going to be tanky enough to absorb the damage and you have enough healing spells, which are a whole other thing that not everyone has access to, and they're not all that powerful either. But when you have that survivability in battle, you're still needing to pump out a lot of damage, and you're not reliably pulling off your powerful combos. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. We'll see. But I downloaded Turnip Boy and started playing that, and that's been more fun. But before we get to that,
Turnip Boy sounds like the weird person in town. Like, yeah. Like we have Turnip Boy, like Bubble Boy. Like, down the street there's the Bubble Boy. Like, what's the Bubble Boy?
Wow. Turnip Boy commits tax evasion, came out today. Time of recording.
Commits tax... All right, I have no idea what this game could possibly be about, but I'm 100% on board.
It is very much trading on its title, because that's delightful. Of course you want to play the game called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. It is... So... And it really is just a catchy title. It has nothing to do with anything in the game. At the beginning of the game...
So he's not doing tax evasion?
He did commit tax evasion, but he did it at the beginning. The objective of the game is not committing tax evasion.
Oh, son of a bitch.
It's just the inciting incident. So you...
It looks very much like Link to the Past.
It does. It is a Zelda-style game. It's simplified. It's much more akin to the original Legend of Zelda. Just in the way, like, your dungeons are laid out, and the types of items you're collecting and the mechanics that you're using... it's not, so far, I've only played like maybe an hour and a half.
Oh, and you are a turnip.
Yes, you are a turnip boy.
It's not a boy that's like invested in turnips in some kind of way, or he likes turnips. He is, in fact,
right.
A turnip.
You are a turnip, and you're living in a fruits and vegetable world. Mm. A produce world where, you know.
The squash looks very proper.
Mm. But at the beginning of the game...
Don't give me a start on proper-looking squashes, all right? That's...
So I wanted pokes. I was wearing a top hat. So you start the game, and at the very beginning, you're presented with this document. Like, hey, you owe all these taxes, and you have two prompts. You can read it, in which case it will just present you with different texts of the same thing. And then your other option is to rip it up. And you pick that to actually start the game, and somebody comes in the room like, whoa, do you realize you've just committed tax evasion? Now you owe all this money. Come with me. I'm giving you a job. And then that's just the impetus for him sending you on these quests to do different things for him, so that, you know, you are...
Paying off your taxes?
Paying off your tax debt. The taxes that you have evaded.
So there's very little actual shady accounting work that you get to do.
Right. So far.
Which maybe, I think would make you hard for this game, being an accountant.
Absolutely.
If that was going on, you'd like, yeah, this is...
Certain things, that you're like embezzling funds and...
This will bring my work home with me.
Well, typically it's sort of like the other side of it is the auditor. The auditor would want to turn this into a detective game. Turnip Boy is the bad guy.
Ryan, should we make a game?
tax evasion is objectively bad. Like, you should pay your taxes.
Yes, tax avoidance, fine, go for it. You know, that's legal.
Pay your taxes.
Illegal.
Pay your taxes and then tell every cop you meet that you pay for their...
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think cops get far too much respect than that we give them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we should give them. Anyway, neither here nor there, because... So, to your point... It is very much like a Zelda. You have this overworld, and at certain points you are prompted, okay, go over here, and you enter a building or like a cave or whatever, and it is a dungeon. And you go from room to room. There are puzzles you have to solve, like moving bombs to blow holes in doors so you can move through. And you are collecting items that will afford you new skills, like the ability to kick the bomb to roll it to a new area, or to you have a watering can and you'll like water some plants that will allow them to grow and create obstacles that will deflect things. And then you'll get a pair of gloves and that will allow you to move blocks around. Don't worry that he doesn't have hands; it's not a problem. You can still wear the gloves to move blocks around to, you know, solve puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
So most of the game is just kind of based on sort of like this locomotion and moving things around in order to solve puzzles to proceed to the next room. You'll find a key that'll open another door, so on and so forth. Pretty basic Zelda dungeon type stuff. There is some light combat to it. It's pretty much just kind of poking your sword in front of you, and most enemies die in one or two hits. So it's not really... The combat is not the focus of the game. And again, much like Zelda, at the end of every dungeon, you'll fight a boss. You beat the boss, it'll give you a new heart for your HP bar. Yes. And you move on to the next stuff. And it's a lot of like... You get a new item, or you know, you get your MacGuffin at the end, you take it back to your employer, the guy who's giving you tasks, and he says, cool, you gave me this one, go get another one. So structured very much like a Zelda game, and then you'll get an item that will open up a new area of your overworld map to you, and you'll explore that side and head toward your next objective.
This is so goofy and fun.
Yeah, it's a very irreverent game. Like, even like... The text it presents you with, you know, they're very proud of the writing they did, but it's very irreverent. And
he was just given a hat and just said the sun had the arch nemesis of the sun. I'm like, that's a joy.
Yeah. I found that hat. I have not found any other hats yet, but there are supposedly hats you can collect in this game, which every game should have. Every game needs hats,
more hats.
So the I forgot where I was going with this, because you mentioned hats. Oh, there's an irreverence to the writing as well, even so much so that like it almost like the game actively encourages you to ignore the things that they're telling you. So like at the beginning of the game, you get that document that tells you, hey, you owe these taxes, then you rip it up, that sends you on your journey. There are other documents that you find throughout the game, and it even gives you a checklist of all these documents that you will find. They're blank until you've actually found the document, and then it'll tell you, okay, you found this one. And every document, you have two prompts. You can read it, in which case it will just show you the text closer up where you can read it, and then you end up putting it down. And the only way to put it down is to rip it up. So you're ripping up every sort of piece of information they are giving you. And even the way like the characters talk to you, like they're very long-winded, and by the end, it's kind of like the Ocarina of Time sort of a language to you. Like, hey, were you actually listening to the thing that I said? Do you want to not for me to not repeat the thing you weren't listening to?
Yeah.
And there were actually several times where I'm like clicking through, like, okay, this guy's talking a lot, and then like I go back to like, wait, do I actually have to listen to the thing that he said to me? So I have to go back and talk to the guy again just to make sure he didn't say anything important.
Another joyous thing I'm noticing is the main character, even though this is a game of just text, is a silent protagonist.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
It's just exclamation marks and question marks. That's all it is.
Yep. Turnip Boy didn't say anything.
I just came across an avocado, but the back of the avocado from the seed is on them like a backpack. I'm like, that's awesome. This is fun.
Yeah, it's a cool game. I like it so far. Some other games that came out today, at time of recording here, it is the 22nd. Picross X6. Picross S6. So you can play some more Picross puzzles if you feel like it. Also, Ryan, you had mentioned this game in passing, maybe in a text chain. Smelter? It's that action game with the sort of RTS overworld type thing.
Yeah, and the girls hardly wearing anything.
Yeah, this one looks pretty awesome.
It's the best part.
It is the best part.
Yeah, it looked like it was a combination of like a Metroid-style game mixed in with RTS elements. I don't know, it looked pretty cool. It came out today.
Yeah, it came out today.
Very nice.
I stuck it on the wish list.
Yeah.
I want to keep an eye on this one. It's got a cool pixel art style to it. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested by like the overworld RTS stuff because it seems like a lot of like resource gathering and kind of like building out your town, maybe like a light civilization style game.
Yeah.
Like it's an interesting matchup that they got going there. Let's see. Also today, a bunch of games came out today. Here's a weird one. Shantae.
Oh, God.
The Game Boy Color game.
Really?
Came out on the Switch eShop.
No shit. How much? Does it say? Do you have a price?
$10.
Okay.
$10 for the Game Boy Color game. And you know, it is a Game Boy Color game, so it looks primitive because it is primitive. But it's funny because now you can buy all 5 Shantae games on Switch. They're all there. Kind of funny that they haven't done like a physical release of all 5. Maybe they will at some point.
And yet they haven't done this with Pokemon.
No Pokemon Game Boy games. Like this is a precedent that's now being set. Now there is a Game Boy game on the Switch eShop, so...
Wait, I think DuckTales got to come next. DuckTales is a crucial game. Probably Mario Land. I would think that's also got to be on there.
Mario Land 2, sure. Metroid 2. Got to do some Link to the Past, or sorry, Link's Awakening.
Ooh,
Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons.
Baseball.
Baseball, sure. Tetris.
Gotta have that.
But yeah, that's a funny one. There were three Atelier games that came out today. So if you haven't had enough of those yet, there's three more.
Hey, who gets tired of those big thighs she's got?
Different characters, sadly.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
What part of their body is overly sexualized?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't take a look at the cover art. And then a couple of games that are coming out in April, but we haven't gotten. We're not time travelers, so we haven't gotten there yet. New Pokemon Snap is out on the 30th.
Oh, motherfuck yes!
Wes is pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm alright.
Ryan, you buying it day one? Are you gonna?
No, I'm looking forward to playing it, but plebeian. Not day one.
this is a day one buy. This is a they got him off work because that way I don't have to request off.
Yeah.
Looking forward to your thoughts on it. And then R-Type Final 2, which is in the R-Type series, this is a long-running series of 2D side-scrolling space shooters. That one comes out on the 30th. There is a demo for that one, and I play the demo. It is one level. In R-Type style, there are different spaceships that you can choose from, and then it seems like as you progress further in the game, you're able to customize them a little bit more. You know, the directions that the guns are shooting and the different specials, like they're getting missiles or a charge shot, that kind of thing.
I remember like, there was actually an R-Type for the Game Boy that I actually did play a bunch back
then.
Because I remember they always feel very similar. They always have the same kind of core power-ups and stuff for your ships. And
yeah.
It all kinds of plays out the same way, but it's one of those games where it's pretty difficult, and you just gotta figure it out as you go.
It is a one-hit death, which I think is the primary difficulty where that comes from.
Well, you can get these like little orbs that float in front of you that will take a hit.
Okay.
But even then, if something's shooting a string of bullets at you, you're not gonna last long.
Yeah. There were a few difficulty levels available in the demo. I tried a few of them. It wasn't all that difficult, but it was the first level, so you know, I'm sure it ramps up as you go. And I was really considering picking this one up. I got a little bit of sticker shock, though. They're asking $40.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For an R-Type game, huh?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, not a huge amount of cash, but just enough to make me like, maybe I'll wait for a sale.
But yeah, you dropped that on Little Nightmares.
Oh, but Little Nightmares 2 is so good. Like,
for like 2 hours.
No, for like 5 hours. Don't be a bitch. I mean, again, not a huge value prospect, but I was much more invested in the sort of like visual and gameplay style of Little Nightmares than I am for R-Type.
Yeah.
So.
Extra 3 hours. Don't be a bitch. Really?
Yeah, an extra 3 hours. Wes. That's 150% more game than you are talking about. Wes.
And you didn't even tell them about the hat collecting. Tell them about the hat collecting.
There's hats. You can collect hats in Little Nightmares too. Wes, that's another hour of gameplay at least.
How many hats?
Wes.
How many hats in R-Type?
How many hats are there in R-Type?
I don't even know what R-Type is. I'm just using this opportunity to take a stab at Little Nightmares.
How dare you? Classic franchise.
Somebody bought it at Target, because we actually sell it at Target, mm-hmm. the physical copy. And I looked down, I'm like... You do know this is only like 3 hours long, right?
They're liar! It is 5 hours.
They still bought it.
Good. Like, good.
But I felt like I should warn them. Like,
what was their response? You're like, I know, I'm not meant long for this one. My God!
Okay. So, any other new releases that we need to address here? Did we skip anything? I think we got them all. Let's take one more break. And come back with some new releases.
That'd be depressing way to, like, say goodbye to life. Is playing Little Nightmares.
I think that's the perfect way to say goodbye to life. Yes.
Oh my God.
How dare you. All right. Games in May. Up next.
Okay.
Thank you. close it out with some games coming out in the month of May. We have 6 Nintendo.com descriptions that Wes is going to read out
God
for us.
Damn.
Before we get to that, a couple we're not going to read the descriptions for. Subnautica and Subnautica Below Zero. Those games are both coming out on the
14th. Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
Nice.
Have you played these before, Wes?
No, but I have been interested in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like I'll get bored of it quick.
What kind of game is it?
It is
a scuba diving game, essentially, where you're collecting resources and stuff.
Yes. It's kind of like you crash on... It's a spaceship that crashes into the ocean. And the whole point of it is...
Every ship is a spaceship.
Yeah.
We're all in space.
He's got you there, Wes.
All right, you got me there. Okay, so his void matter spaceship, I don't know, in space and the emptiness of it, whatever, crashes on the planet into the ocean. And the whole point of it is to go around and collect resources and things in order to repair your spaceship to get the fuck out. And so it's a lot of exploration, it's a lot of resource gathering, it's a lot of crafting, it's a lot of building. I think there is a little bit of combat, like, look at that big fish trying to eat me, shoot it, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
But that's pretty much what it is. You're collecting resources to build stuff, to fix your ship, to get the fuck out.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool.
So it's kind of like a No Man's Sky with a objective.
Gotcha. So I'm about to kick it over to you for the Nintendo.com descriptions. There are 2 other games coming out on the 14th. They're the Famicom Detective Club games, The Missing Heir and The Girl Who Stands Behind. There are 2 different SKUs. I don't remember if they're coming out physically or not. Not really that important, but we're not going to read both of the descriptions.
What is the girl standing behind?
I don't know. Maybe that's the mystery you got to figure out.
Oh.
That your detective club is trying to figure out. But I'm going to hand you the PC now.
Okay.
We're just going to do the description for The Girl Who Stands Behind. Maybe they'll tell us.
Oh, here and we then, go.
We'll pretty much just use the tabs going from left to right here for the next one, and that'll close us out.
All right.
Find the secret behind a grisly rumor haunting a Japanese high school. Interrogate suspects and hunt for clues to piece together chilling conundrums plaguing a high school in Japan. Suspense, and a little bit horror, ensues as you try to free students from their nightmare. Play at home or on the go, or in your favorite reading nook. Only on the Nintendo Switch system. Can you figure out who the culprit is before it's too late?
What happens if it's too late?
Immerse yourself in an interactive visual novel. Press subjects by selecting the right question for a series of options. Uncover clues by moving a magnifying glass around the screen and examining your environment with the press of a button. Get enough information to push forward with your investigation, then access different areas and meet more suspects.
I wonder if anyone's sold on the game when they hear by moving a magnifying glass across the screen. Like, why is that a necessary detail?
Yeah.
Do they have, like, a minimum word count, maybe?
It's a lot.
Maybe they're just clarifying that they're, like, this is a purist detective game.
Mm.
There's not going to be any kind of fucked up mechanics where you got to do something else. Or...
Take your microscope and get the fuck out of here.
You do have a detective hat. Put on your detective hat and leave no stone unturned on your path to the truth.
Unlockable hats.
Are there more hats?
Features. Unlockable hats.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
No, there's no bullet points.
Ah, damn it.
Like, why am I reading this? There's no bullet
they're
points.
They're on to us.
Buy one Famicom Detective Club game and get the other at a discount.
Oh, that's interesting.
Famicom Detective Club, The Girl Who Stands Behind, is the second game in the series. The first game, Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir, is also available on your Nintendo eShop. If you purchase one of these games, you can get $10 off the other when purchased on the Nintendo eShop. As an up-and-coming detective, find the culprit who took the life of an innocent girl, Yoko, and rattled her high school community. The victim was investigating a ghost story of a bloody girl haunts the school and appears behind students.
But only ever behind them.
Only behind. Not to the side.
Right.
Directly behind.
Right.
Deconstruct.
So as long as, like, you're walking back to back with someone everywhere, the ghost will just stay away.
Yeah, you're foiled again.
Everything's fine.
Deconstruct this grisly rumor at Ushimitsu High School and free these students from their nightmare. Originally released in Japan only, the Famicom Detective Club, The Girl Who Stands Behind game, has been localized in English text and modernized for Nintendo Switch systems. While the graphics, music, and sound effects have been recreated, players can also choose the original 8-bit soundtrack. Discover a piece of Nintendo history with the Famicom Detective Club series of games. May 14th.
Yeah, I think it's like 35. Yeah. It's a text adventure.
We talked about Aerial Knights. Why am I reading this?
I'm hoping that the description is fun.
All right, that's fair. Can this go away? And bring up. All right, here. Sorry, as I bow the screen.
All good.
He's on Amazon. He's just buying everything he needs.
No bullet points again. Sad.
Disappointing.
Aerial Knights.
Aerial Knights never yield.
Sure, they don't.
They're terrible drivers.
His one foot's not... that looks like a robot foot.
He's got a prosthetic leg.
Yeah, look at that. Good for him. He's fast. Survive a futuristic Tokyo-style Detroit in this 3D... Who wants to have a Tokyo-style Detroit?
No, let them have something.
We don't even want Detroit.
Let them have something. They have to live in Detroit. Let them be futuristic Tokyo if they want.
In this 3D runner that tells the story of Wally, who has uncovered the evidence that can change his city forever, explore a game world with a dope-tastic soundtrack featuring the authentic sounds of Detroit artists. Right.
Do they give a name or just...
Detroit artist.
Is it, okay. Is it Eminem?
I guess that is it.
It might be Eminem.
Yeah. It's either Eminem or Kid Rock. Oh, God, or it's Madonna.
Oh, gross.
God.
Look at that.
Story. Take the role of Wally, a mysterious character who has recovered what is taken from him. Hopefully, you're fast enough to outrun your enemies.
God, I hope it's not his leg.
He's trying to get his leg back?
Yeah.
I mean...
That doesn't seem okay. No. What was taken from him?
I don't know. Expose the truth and try to uncover the mystery of what happened to them. So, I mean, maybe he doesn't even know what was taken from him.
Huh. But he knows that something's missing.
Yeah.
If he didn't know something was taken, then how do you know...
This is a very confusing revenge plot.
This is Detroit, Tokyo. We haven't even begun to figure this out.
Okay.
We gotta be careful before we open this can of worms.
We're gonna get to the bottom of this by the end of this description.
Gameplay. Aerial Knights Never Yield is a 3D side-scroller that plays much like a classic Endless Runner. The game has an interesting story that keeps players always in motion. Run, jump, slide, or dash for acrobatic variants leading to dope combinations and avoid the challenges that await. Aerial Knights Never Yield is being built for players who love to speedrun games while being an experience that casual players will enjoy as well. Good for them.
Yeah. Sounds dope.
Yeah. Right. Soundtrack. The soundtrack for Aerial Knights Never Yield is being done by Danime-sama? Sure. A Detroit artist with vocals from artists from all over the world.
There we go. We got the name.
Yeah.
Wasn't Eminem or Kid Rock.
Danime.
Well, that's probably the best.
Danime-sama? Danime-sama. Something like that. Note from the dev. This project began as just a passion project I started on my own to create something familiar but new for this generation of gamers, while highlighting aspects of a culture that is often overlooked. I really hope you enjoy the game once it is released and follow my journey to create new and interesting games. All right.
This was supposed to be a real-world LARP game.
I'm going to pass.
Well, but you've been playing it. You were kind of positive on it when you were talking about it.
Yeah. I think visually, it's really cool. Soundtrack, really, really good. I'm not so sure if there's a real depth to the gameplay, but I think that for a lot of people, the visuals and the music will be enough to hold together for a pleasant experience. I don't know. If I get it or not, depend a lot on what else is coming out around it.
Yeah. We need to send them an email because there's no bullet points for this one either. They got rid of the bullet points. We need to send them. I'm not even joking about this.
What have they done?
I'm not even joking about this. We need to actually send them an email saying they need to bring back the ridiculous bullet points.
Okay.
That's part of the joy of it. Miitopia.
You know what we need to do, though? Like,
make our own bullet points?
No joke. In our email, we need to have bullet points about why bullet points are necessary.
It needs to repeat stuff what we said earlier in the email.
Yeah, we'll have like a subject line, and then our first sentence will be that repeated.
I forgot they did that.
Every time. Like, I'm disappointed that they're not doing it anymore.
They haven't done that yet.
It's like they listen to our show.
And they're like, oh, shit. Miitopia. God damn it. Start in a hilarious adventure alongside your family and friends. Cast your friends, family, or anyone you choose. Oh, they did it! In a comedy-filled adventure to bring down the face-stealing Dark Lord.
They just inverted the sentence.
create and customize me.
Switching the subject and predicate doesn't make a new sentence, you guys. It's just... Okay, anyway. Dark Lord, you're taking down a Dark Lord.
Taking down a Dark Lord. The face-stealing Dark Lord.
Oh my.
Yeah. Create and customize me characters of anyone you like and assign them roles in the fantasy adventure of a lifetime. With expanded customization in Miitopia, you can even add wings and makeup to give your characters more character.
Oh.
Watch your characters come to life as your best friend and
characters more character. You can find like another word that's not repeating. Yeah. Personality. Give your characters more personality.
Give your characters
more pizzazz.
I hope you never write for them.
This is just off the top of my head.
Watch your characters come to life as your best friend and dear old grandma team up to topple the villainous Dark Lord that resembles your grumpy uncle.
Oh, so you get to choose the Dark Lord, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would be Dr. Zoidberg.
Remember my knee I made on your Wii years ago? It looked like Bill Gates on crack.
Oh, yeah, it was psychotic.
I love that thing. I miss that guy.
Oh, you can still make Miis on your Switch. The Mii Builder is in there.
Really?
Yeah. They buried
it. What do I do with it?
You can make it an avatar. For
like your little icon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm totally fucking doing this.
I'm not sure if they show up in Mario Kart. I can't remember if they carry that over in Mario Kart 8. Because in Mario Kart Wii, any like Miis that you made would show up in like the audience in certain levels. And I'm not sure if that's the case in they carry that forward on the Wii U. Like, it's weird because they seem perfectly content with letting Miis just die off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do this. Like, I thought it was even weird that they had a Mii Builder option on the Switch. I figured that would have been left in the past, and they buried it pretty deep in there. I think that they were hoping that people would ignore it. But here it is, a Mii game.
So, Jeremy has an iPhone. So he has that whatever thing they do where they kind of make their iPhone Miis.
Okay.
He does this, and he always will respond to a lot of conversations with that character giving a thumbs up. So I downloaded something on my phone that allows me to make someone that looks like me, like a Mii, except it's got more of a torso. And then they do different poses of things based on emotions. And I made it mine, but slightly off. And so it's just plain creepy.
Good.
it looks like me, except instead of a full beard, it's missing the chin. So it's got that like Safari Hunter look.
Okay, good.
And he does these weird poses. I just slip him into text with him here and there. I get a joy out of it. It's just this little creepy me with thumbs up, like, hey, look. Foster friendships between your hand-picked me characters. Pair up your me characters at inns to build their relationships and see some personality-packed interactions. You may hear some hot gossip on grandma or find your best friend and mom doing push-up. Aw. God. Why is she on top of it while they're doing push-ups?
That made all this worth it.
Characters may also learn skills like lend a hand. God damn it!
I don't get it. Why is that funny?
This is just a bad porno. It's in the works. And help each other out during battle. Outings let you send character pairs on bonding experiences at the beach. It is just... a cafe and more. Even your trusty horse can lend a hoof.
See, this is, okay, first of all, a terrible joke. Second of all, that is a perfect opportunity for bullet points. Like, the different, like, locations they can go to. A cafe, the beach, more.
Well, that'd be one bullet point.
I think you do those three separate bullet points. That way you can have a bullet point just for...
stretch the screen out as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah. And that way you can have a bullet point that just says, more.
Bring your friends into battle. They've been doing that the past two sentences.
No, wait a sec. But can we bring grandma? That's what I need to know here. They've only mentioned grandma like three times. We need one more mention just to solidify her presence.
Okay. Engage in turn-based combat against outlandish baddies like the gyrating Twerky to gain experience and level up characters. Tailor your strategy by assigning me characters personality traits and jobs like warrior, chef, and pop star that would determine their approach into battle. Need a boost? Food is used to recover health and magic to keep your party in fighting shape. No, nothing about grandma.
Disappointing. How do we know she's going to be in the game? They only mentioned her three times.
Yeah.
And also, did anyone here make a me that actually represents a person, like, not themselves? Like, I figure, like, most people, like, when they were making
Didn't you have Zoidberg?
I did. I had Zoidberg. I had Jack Black, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Forget the Jack Black.
Jack Nicholson, Lucy Liu. I had a Lucy Liu me.
Man, people got real crazy with these me's.
Yeah, and there were like websites that you could go to actually share these creations. It wasn't like anything as sophisticated as like just download these and you'll have them, but it gave like detailed instructions like use these type of eyes, position them here, this type of mouth, use these eyebrows in this weird way to make this very distinct mustache. Yeah, there are some pretty intricate me designs for the limited tools they had, and it was fun. And I think I like had me's for like me and Dez, and then you had a me.
Made a me.
Yeah, but I don't think I had any actual people me's. Like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, man.
I think I built exactly one me the entire time that this has been a thing. it's an underutilized resource. And I can't believe that they're charging people $49.99 to play this game.
And it's a
it
port.
It may be good.
It's a port. A sort of enhanced port of a 3DS game.
Maybe good. I doubt this is going to be good. I'm sorry.
I thought this was a sequel.
That's a port?
I'm pretty sure it's a port. It may be a sequel, though.
I have higher hopes for this longing game than this.
That's
a slap in the face. Holy hell.
I think that the general consensus for the 3DS version game, it was fun and cute, but nothing like too sophisticated.
Isn't that Animal Crossing?
You shut your fucking mouth, sir. And it's like you're reading my notes, because I was about to say, like, why didn't they just take this formula except have it Animal Crossing villagers? Like, why me's?
Why can't we just put me as an Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing.
With your Wiimote?
You mean my Wiimote, my Animal Crossing? It's like, you're like, why me? What? It's like, you feel like this.
Right. What has happened? Like, so is it someone like the creator of Mii's retiring at Nintendo, and they wanted to give him like one last thing to like pay tribute? Like, what is happening here? Why in the year of our Lord 2021 is there a me game? Anyway.
Knockout City. Throw, catch, pass, dodge, and tackle your way into glory. See, now I'm doing the way.
dodge, dip, dive, duck, and dodge.
God, that's such a good movie. Uh-huh. I love that. Coming soon, team up and duke it out with rival crews in Knockout City, where you settle the score with epic dodgeball battles. I'm on board. Brace yourself for outrageous fun and intense competition in an all-new take on team-based multiplayer games. Customize your character and form a new crew. Form a crew with friends and your grandma. It doesn't say that. To start your Knockout City takeover. Knock out opponents with trick shots and coordinated teamwork while dodging and catching balls flying across the map. No ball? No problem. You can literally ball up, roll into a teammate's hands, and become the ultimate weapon. Ugh. A variety of outlandish ball types, locations, and game modes keep it exciting. Plus, each season introduces new maps, ball types, rewards, events, and challenges. Throw, catch, pass, dodge, and tackle your way to dodgeball dominance. Oh, it's not bullet points, but we have key features.
Ooh, key features.
We have key features, which is essentially bullet points without the bullets. Key features. Frantic and fun. Rule the city through
I think that's subjective.
Yeah.
Maybe not frantic, but fun? That's a subjective. Like, you can't...
That's also not a feature.
Right.
Rule the city through lightning-fast multiplayer matches featuring mind-blowing dodgeball mechanics. Increase your attack by passing to power-up dodgeballs, targeting your opponents with a variety of specialized balls, or balling up at any time to get thrown by teammates. Crew up. Assemble an all-star dodgeball crew with your friends for multiplayer matches and a seamless cross-play experience. Together, knock out opponents in 3v3, 4v4, or free-for-all matches. Pass, throw, and strategize to dominate as a team and unlock distinctive crew-only rewards.
Oh, I wonder what that means.
Define your style. Show off your stats and unique look through character and crew designs with expansive character creation options. Customize your appearance, gear, and attitude, from body type and hairstyle to a custom glider and crew vehicle to win lose, and taunt animations.
You know what? This seems like it's ripe for some sort of like bullshit download DLC gotcha system.
This looks like a new form of Fortnite. Mm. This is what it's starting to sound like to me. We're going to have Mandalorian and Marvel characters in this soon.
I just hope there's like kill cam and glory kill modes.
Mm.
Where it's like you really just tag someone and they're just like their face is just contorted. Teeth are flying out. You know, you really did them in with this dodgeball.
Take on Knockout City. Battle it out with other crews across dynamic maps all over the city. Each map's special features make every match an intense, unexpected experience. Dodgeball thrives in back alleys with
Pneumatic?
I don't know. I can't remember. Pneumatic. Pneumatic tubes on skyscraper rooftops across busy streets and even at the local burger joint and construction sites. While you're dodging dodgeballs, watch out for moving cars, rooftop drops, and even a wrecking ball or two.
That's just good advice for life. Just watch out for moving cars.
This sounds like the sequel of that ping pong movie.
Balls of Fury?
Yeah, this sounds like a sequel to Balls of Fury.
I don't think I ever made it to the end of that one.
There's reason why you didn't.
It was
straight terrible.
But okay.
Still. Yeah, Christopher Walken is a bad guy playing ping pong.
You gotta watch for 400 days before you do that.
Strikingly fresh yet familiar. It's easy to pick up and play thanks to the familiar controls, but practice is key to becoming a champion. On a level playing field, only the most skilled battlers stand out from the crowd. Use your knowledge to master the intricacies of the game for spectacular KOs. Stay tuned for details about upcoming beta tests, limited time events, and more.
Mm. That's not going to age well, that sentence, because I assume once the game is out, they're probably not going to change that description. So you would no longer be able to stay tuned for a beta test.
Mm. Looks interesting. We got Shin Megami Tensei game. Look at this.
Shin Megami Tensei 3.
It's the smallest description yet, and it's probably the most complex game that I've read so far.
Cool.
And it's barely a paragraph.
Hit it.
Penis chariots.
Penis
chariots. That should be a bullet point right there. Just penis chariots.
Just butts everywhere.
Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne? But it's cut off.
Okay.
What is it? Is it Nocturne?
Nocturne, yeah.
Nocturne, okay. Reawaken your inner demon in a modernized version of the acclaimed Atlas classic Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remastered. Also says right there. Even fucking read on. What begins as a normal day in Tokyo turns out to be everything but. When the conception an ethereal apocalypse is invoked.
Oh.
The remains of the world are swallowed by chaos as a demonic revolution descends into a broken city. Caught between a battle of gods and demons, the choices you make can bring life, rebirth, or death, and determine who triumphs. This genre-defying, punishing RPG is back and now includes remastered 3D mode models and backgrounds, additional difficulty settings for players of all skill levels, suspend save your progress whenever you need, voiced audio, choose between Japanese and English VO. That's it.
I'm pretty excited.
It looks cool. There's this weird pumpkin head wizard.
Is it Pyro Jack?
I don't know. I'm just looking at this one screenshot.
Here, flip it around.
And it's just this pumpkin headed wizard.
Yeah, that's Pyro Jack.
Who's Pyro Jack?
He's a pumpkin headed wizard.
Is he one of those...
Typically uses fire magic.
Catchable monsters, or is he...
Right, he's a recruitable... In most SMT games, he is a recruitable demon. I haven't played this one before, so I don't know for 100% sure, but if they're showing him, he's probably a recruitable demon. Or a demon that you can fuse.
Haven't you played Shin Megami Tensei 3?
No, not 3. I've played 4 and 4 Apocalypse. I played a little bit of the original. So that's a hard game to play now. But no, I never played 3 on the PS2. This is the first time it's available.
This is just a remaster of it?
Yep, remaster of the PS2
version. Tell me how it is. I've been wanting to try Shin Megami again. Because I've only tried it once, and it was on the DS. You lent it to me.
Mm.
And I just couldn't really get into it.
try. Well, do you own Persona 5?
Nope.
Persona 5 is a really easy one to get into, and that's probably of the Persona games that I've played. I've played 3, 4, and 5.
But we're talking about Shin Megami.
Right, but Persona is a spinoff of Shin Megami Tensei. And of all of the Persona games that I've played, it is the most closely related to Shin Megami Tensei in the way that you are recruiting demons and have and progressing through dungeons and things. And the, just the overall gameplay style. Like the battles are always very similar in the way that you are exploiting weaknesses to give yourselves like extra turns or knock an enemy prone, just generally gain advantages in battle. But Shin Megami Tensei is typically first person in the fights. You don't actually see your party. You just kind of see like the character portraits and you're kind of selecting their attacks and you're hitting the enemies. It also you churn through monsters faster, whereas in the Persona games, you're typically for most of your playable characters, you're just upgrading one monster. They're getting stronger as you go through. Whereas in the mainline Shin Megami Tensei series, it's you have this monster for a little while, and then you need to churn it into something else. Otherwise, it's just gonna fall too far behind to be usable. Hmm. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I think this one's out on the 24th.
May 24th.
Okay, cool. Yep. I gotta make sure I got it pre-ordered. It's gonna be good.
Alright, one last game.
Home stretch.
Here we go. World Ends Club for Nintendo Switch. Obviously.
Yep. We don't have any more 3DS games to talk about.
Nope. Friends Till the End. Renowned game writers Kataro Uchikoshi. Uchikoshi.
Sure? Uchikoshi? You want to take another swing at it?
It's got to be Uchikoshi.
Okay.
And Kuzutaka Kodaka. Oh. Return with brand new game that's easy to touch. I just struggle with their names. Oh. With a brand new game that's easy to dive into and full of twists and turns. This charming and vivid story of friendship and mystery will captivate new and experienced players alike. Play with your grandma. The Go-Getters Club, a group of misfit students from all over Japan, find themselves trapped in a strange theme park during a class trip. In order to unravel the mystery of their circumstances and find an escape, they must take part in a game of fate that will test their bonds of friendship. With colorful visuals, charming characters, and accessible gameplay, and a compelling story, this is an experience you will never forget. That's all I got.
The end.
The end.
Cool.
I have no idea what this is.
I was expecting a little bit something more, I suppose, more ridiculous.
Like, is there combat? Is it a just go around and figure crap out? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's more of an adventure game. Although, they showed a trailer for this at an Indie Direct several months ago. I can't remember. I think there might be some sort of combat. I'm not sure if it's an RPG or just an action game. I don't know. I was hoping there'd be more in the description, but that was pretty brief. But yeah, those are games.
Those are games.
Coming up in May.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this back before I accidentally close Audacity or whatever we're using now.
So.
And all hell breaks loose. And
that's, we haven't been recording. I'm joking.
Okay. Dear God, you son of a bitch.
But yeah, I think that's going to bring this show to a close. Those are the games.
All right.
Next up, so here's the thing. We typically record on Thursdays.
Yes.
Seems to be in the
by next Thursday, Pokemon will not be out.
Pokemon will not be out by the time we record again.
Too bad, so sad, Wes.
So I say we swap shows and give you some time with Pokemon.
Okay.
It's fine with me.
What do we want to do, like a mini show next to them?
Maybe a mini show.
Okay.
Works for me.
Cool. That's what we'll do then. Plan. It's a good plan, Wes. You came up with it.
I'm the best.
Hmm.
Ukashiki Kododaka.
Please stop offending him. Frequent listener. We're sorry, Uki.
There's a CH. There's no Uki. It's Uchi. Uchikashi.
Please.
We're going to have to bleep you here. Come on.
Please. Sir.
Oh, I probably said something horrible. Is all
seriously, that send me those fart noises.
So next up, we'll do a mini show, and then we'll talk about some Pokemon Snap for a while. Wes will be, just be able to gush about it.
There'd be the Pokemon Snap show.
Yeah.
And you guys could shut the fuck up.
I'm looking forward
to it. Just sit there and deal with me.
I'm looking forward to your thoughts. It's going to be fun.
I could be wrong about this, but I believe a coworker said we do have giveaways to go with the game, like we do with some games. We'll hand us things to hand off. Like, I think with...
Oh, swag?
Yeah, swag. Mario 3D World, we had a water ball with Mario all over it. All
right.
That was pretty cool. I think he... I could be wrong about this, but I think he said something about a photo frame.
Oh, that's pretty
like
fun.
A magnetic frame. So maybe there's really? A way to print these things out, which, fuck yes.
Well, yeah, there's printers. Printers yeah. exist.
Well, I don't know how you're going to print from a Switch.
You can take a screenshot and then send it to your Twitter. You can share screenshots. They're not locked onto your Switch.
Yeah.
You can even put them on an SD card and then put it into a PC, which are notoriously connected to printers sometimes.
Oh, man. I'm going to print so many of my photos.
You should.
I'm going to decorate my wall around my around my TV.
And then you should do it like you're trying to solve a crime, like have all these yards.
Yes! Just a wall of this? Yes. Oh.
What was the guy in Always Sunny? They get all these back to payback.
Pepe Sylvia.
Charlotte, this is Pennsylvania. So,
which Pokemon should I stick it on? Who did the crime?
Wooper.
It all goes back to Wooper.
Yeah.
I really want to make this now on my wall. People walk in and go, what the fuck is this?
I don't know if you guys...
I'm going to get that son of a bitch.
there are a number of... Or Quagsire, because he's the one who killed Wooper. There are a number of video streamers and YouTubers who do like these challenge Pokemon runs. Or can I play through... this gen doing a Nuzlocke only using poison types, that kind of thing. Or can I play through this gen only using one Pokemon? And then they do like types of runs where they're not allowed to use items in battle, so they can't just spam potions and X attacks until they can win. But I was watching this one the other day where I was playing through all of Platinum using only a Wooper.
Oh, God.
And it just reminded me of the first time I played through Gold on Game Boy Color. Going down on that route south of, I think it was Violet City, but ran into a Wooper. I was like, oh, cool, look at this little like water-type guy. He's got this really cool sprite. He's got these antenna. He's got a cute little smile. No hands, but that's just fine. He's got these funny little feet. What a funny little character design. And then it evolved into Quagsire and immediately boxed it. Nope. What a terrible design Pokemon. Was not going to deal with that shit at all.
Well, better than Wobbuffet.
That's not a high bar.
Yeah, not by much, though, really, if you think about it.
They're both just these weird blue blobs.
Yeah.
Don't body shame them, John. What the fuck is wrong with you?
You know what? Wobbuffet needs to take care of himself a little bit better.
Yep. It's not his fault he has a speech impediment.
Well, they all have speech impediments. They can only say their names.
Well, Wobbuffet goes, Wobbuffet. He just kind of stutters with it.
What is he going on?
Wobbuffet.
What were we talking about? What was that last?
All right. We're done here. That's the end. Everyone get your COVID shots.
Bye. So long.